BBC Radio News at 7 o'clock.
Now the time is 6:45, and we present The Archers.
When Phil and Dan were discussing some serious farm business, Walter tried to butt in and was given a friendly cold shoulder, and unfortunately, he's taken it to heart.
I never thought Walter would take it so seriously, Tom. But off he went, and he's hardly spoken to me since.
You must have caught him at a bad moment.
Maybe you're right. You see, he just offered to fetch out tea.
Oh, feeling a bit left out of things, perhaps.
Oh, I don't know. He couldn't have picked a worse time to want company. I was trying to get Phil round to seeing the sheep my way.
Oh, that'll be a turn up for the book.
That's what I'd hoped for.
And then Walter comes barging in.
Aye.
Oh, dear.
Ruined everything. By the time we worked out why Walter had stormed off, there was no point going on about my sheep.
Over it. You know what he's like.
Well, I hope so. But Phil made it sound as though Walter was the last thing anyone wanted at Brookfield.
But Joe was only saying the other day that she'd have him there, so as to give you and Doris a bit of a break.
I'm not so sure Phil agrees with her.
Well, he likes old Walter, don't he?
Living with Walter's a bit different from seeing him around. It needs the sort of patience our Phil hasn't got. More's a pity.
Could be that's why you don't much fancy having more sheep.
It's what Brookfield was built on originally, Tom.
Oh, ah. Well, they make money now. That's the only sort of thing that's going to convince me.
Oh, I don't know, Tom. I really don't. But it's nothing to do with sentiment, as far as I'm concerned. You see, we can keep them on Lakey Hill. Apart from lambing, they need no buildings. They don't poach the land. Not like the mess the cattle make. And what's more...
Oh, Dan, it ain't me you got to persuade. Brookfield ain't my concern.
Aye, well, anyway, even using Phil's up-to-date jargon, gross margin a hectare, I reckon sheep could be on. After all, you don't have so much capital tied up. But I expect Phil can make up figures on that, too.
Oh, dear, you properly got the grumps today, aren't you?
Aye, well, wouldn't you? The moment we start talking about sheep, out comes his costing figures. On goes the calculator, and I can't keep up with my mental arithmetic.
But you started lambing. And he pleased?
No, not really. We're not doing as well as we should. The ewes weren't as fit as I'd have liked, but at least we haven't got sheep scab.
No, not yet.
Touch wood. But coming back to my argument, Phil wants to keep more cattle. But look, if you lose a steer, that could be a loss of around 300 quid. Now, an old ewe wouldn't come to much more than 30 quid.
Well, don't tell me. Tell Phil.
I will, if I can get his mind off man management. Just think of the things we didn't have in the old days, Tom, and thank your lucky stars.
I always say, know your rights, and be prepared to use every last one of them. That way you get what's yours, and no arguments.
It's all right for you, Joe. You're sitting pretty, aren't you?
That's as it should be. It's me that works my land, not Bellamy. He's never done me any favours, Sid.
Oh, so it was mutual. But me and Polly did our cottage up all right, made it smashing. And now this bloke Briggs gets all the benefit and we just get a pain in the neck.
Should have made sure you knew what you was letting yourself in for.
Oh, so everybody tells me now.
Don't blame them, lad. Blame yourself. If you'd stuck to the golden rule, you wouldn't have gone wrong.
Well, what golden rule's that?
In business, never trust nobody.
Now, come off it. Not everyone's a villain. Even this bloke Briggs was all right to start with.
You mean he sounded all right? Didn't bother to find out, did you?
Let me check in on all my customers next to see if the credit's all right to buy a pint of beer.
The price beer's coming to, they'll need to pay for it by credit card. They like robbery.
Well, at least you've got a year to make up your mind what you're going to do about your rent.
Oh, I've done that already. I shall fight it.
Try to fight the increase, shall we?
Try and succeed. Bellamy and Sinclair do well to have second thoughts. The trouble they're going to have. Law's an expensive business, you know.
Huh? Why don't you try negotiating directly?
Want to see them, if they come to the farm. But I've got the law behind me, and I'm going to use it.
Strikes me, you like doing things the hard way.
Being soft never works. Take £10. Oh, he'll... I'm an hour a bit, but he'll pay up in the end. Reckons it'll keep Bellamy sweet.
Nothing wrong. Want to get on with your landlord, is it?
But can't you see? Once the agreement's signed, Bellamy's laughing, isn't he?
What about Jim Elliot?
What'll he do?
How do I know? Hardly ever sees him, nor his missus. But he never struck me as a fighting sort.
Half, please, Sid. Evening, Joe.
Evening.
Taking Ralph Bellamy to arbitration, I hear.
It ain't Lady Day yet. He can stew for a bit.
We was just wondering how the Elliots would find the extra rent.
Well, they won't find it easy.
But with the extra rent and tax and everything, it's going to put the screws on everyone, isn't it?
I wasn't thinking of just the money, Joe. Jim's getting on. I know he's got a man, but he must be coming close to retiring. I wonder if he'll replace him.
If he doesn't, he'd never be able to run Bridge Farm by himself. He'd be...
See what I mean? Landlords like Bellamy don't take account of that.
I dare say Ralph will get the picture from Andrew Sinclair before he talks to Jim.
He'll squeeze him till the old fella has to keep up.
What good is that going to do either of them?
Gives Bellamy more land of his own to farm his way. He won't mind getting rid of the lot of us, I shouldn't wonder.
Well, if all his tenant farmers made as good a job of it as Ken Pound, I don't suppose Ralph would grumble.
He'd have a better case for putting their rent up double next time, wouldn't he? Why should I cut my throat just to fill his pocket, eh?
What do you want to stay on for, anyway? Just to spite Ralph Bellamy?
Well, I've given him a ride for his money these past few years, and I...
Only by the skin of your teeth. It'd take a lot of hard work and a fair bit of cash to get that place of yours up to scratch.
Don't go thinking I couldn't make it if I wanted to. I've got my two lads to consider, you know, and with this year I...
Oh, yes, that's a fact. They can inherit now, can't they?
Blimey, there's a thought. Must be a regular nightmare for Ralph Bellamy, that one. Grundy's living at Grange Farm for the next 200 years.
Morning, Mrs. Archer. Is the boss in?
I'm afraid he isn't. Can I help?
Well, he wanted details of the deer we've had to cull. I've only scribbled it down.
I'll type it out, if you like.
Oh, I'll happily prefer it that way, thanks.
I'll just take a look at it. February the 20th, one doe and late fawn, both substandard. Mm. March 10th, one buck... Mangled hindquarter.
No, he'd come into the park off the road. Been it by a car by the look of it.
Oh. March 13th. One buck, left antler, unformed. Substandard for breeding.
It took us months to pin that one down.
Oh, looks straightforward to me, George. It'll only take a minute or two to type.
Ah, and then the boss can read it at his leisure. Serve me having to rabbit on.
Is he satisfied with how things are going?
No. I reckon we'd have trouble without Tom, did he?
It might have made things difficult. Terry's fitted in well, hasn't he?
Happen he likes the job.
You don't seem pleased, though. Is anything wrong?
Oh, nothing that affects anyone here. It's just a family matter. You know, Terry is at an age...
Oh, I know what you mean.
Well, you've had three of your own.
There aren't any easy answers, are there?
Him being split up from his sister doesn't help.
I'm glad that didn't happen to Jennifer's kids. They both stayed together with her.
They, see their dad, though, do they?
Yes, sometimes, in London. Roger doesn't come here. That'd be very awkward.
All cut and dried. Unfortunately, it's not between me and my wife.
And Terry's confused by it all.
Maybe he's having second thoughts about
coming here. Well, it can't be easy for him. Perhaps he needs reassuring.
Well, I do what I can, and so does Nora.
But sometimes you can't help wondering if it's worth the effort for all the thanks you get.
Nay, I don't want thanks. I just want the lad to be content and a part of the family. Hey, I'd give a lot for that.
You're lucky to find anyone here. I'm just off to work.
Oh, well, then I won't keep you. I thought I might catch George, that's all.
Oh, it's not about Terry.
No, not from my end. Can't help but be interested in how things are going, though.
Oh, pretty quiet. There's been nothing like that time when you and George had to bring him home.
Oh, well, I'm glad of that. Has he talked about his troubles?
No, and that's what's bothering George. He's half afraid they're growing further apart every day.
Oh, that'd hurt him. Terry means a lot to him.
Oh, I'm sure he loves his dad. But they can't seem to say two words to each other without starting a row.
Ah, well, when Peter was going through his awkward patch, it was the same between him and me. Oh, dear, never a dull moment.
But you both came through in the end.
Crew had a lot to do with that, you know. Made us both see sense. But it was rough for it while it lasted.
Hmm. It wouldn't be so bad if it was straightforward.
Ah, that's it. What with the lad's sister cut off from him?
And his mother.
Oh, I thought Terry wasn't much bothered about her.
Well, he is when it comes to Karen. He worries about how she gets on without him having to take the worst of it.
Maybe he wants his sister down here for a while.
Perhaps. And maybe Will and George and me. But we know what that'd do to George's wife and the storm she'd kick up. And that'd be worse than anything.
I know we've not quite as many lambs as usual, but...
All the more reason to keep things as they are, Dad. I know the temptation to buy in more
ewes. It's not just a temptation. It had become
and a lot more trouble.
We've managed well enough so far.
Only because I've let you have Jethro to help out. Sometimes it'd have been more useful doing other work.
Well, take him, then. I can manage by myself if needs be.
Even if it knocks you up. I want you enjoying life. Well,
don't be daft, Phil. Anyone would think I was past it. Sheep aren't much trouble to someone who knows what they're doing.
But you haven't even got a decent dog to help you anymore. Nell's only a beginner.
She'll learn. She's sharp enough.
And what happens if you go down sick? There's no one to take your place, is there?
If you'd given me Neil to train...
We've had all that out before, Dad. Neil's future here is in pigs.
Well, Jethro, then.
He's the all-rounder, isn't he? He's not a shepherd. And before you go through all the men, forget it. The way things are, we're all right.
And what happens to the flock if I decide to pack it in?
Oh, well, we'll see.
I'd like to know now, Phil. What would you do with them?
Oh, that'd depend.
You'd sell the lot, wouldn't you? You've never cared for them, not even when you were a lad. You just let me have a few to keep me out of trouble.
Dad, while you want them, we'll keep them, and that's it. I'm not grumbling. All I'm saying is, let's keep things the way they are, nicely balanced.
Just to keep the old man happy.
Well, I don't think that's such a bad reason.
Thanks for that much, at least. But I still think
that... Here you are, both of you.
Thank you.
The chap from the corn merchants hasn't come, has he?
If he has, he can wait. I've got a bone to pick with you, Phil, and with you, Dad.
What have we done now?
What on earth did you say to Walter? Mum says he's been nothing but a misery since yesterday evening. And all he says is that he knows when he's not wanted.
Oh, it was nothing. Dad and I needed to talk in private, and he was too thick-witted to realize.
We weren't rude or cross with him,
no.
Well, how sensitive he can be, Phil. And you know I practically arranged for him to come here to give Mum and Dad a break.
I didn't know anyone had suggested him going anywhere.
It was Jill's idea, not mine, Dad.
It should have been your idea in the first place.
You'll have to convince Doris first, Jill.
She told me she'd only let him go if he said so himself. Well, it's about time he had the chance, and I'm going to ask.
Didn't expect to see you here this time of the month, Mr. Clifford.
Well, it seemed a good opportunity as I was out this way. Should have phoned, I suppose.
Might have saved you a wasted journey.
Terry not home yet?
Home and out again.
Pity I missed him. Where's he gone? Somewhere local? Youth club?
He goes there off and on.
A bit quiet for him, perhaps.
I'd like to give him a snooker now and then.
Got some pals locally, has he?
One or two.
Prefers the Borchester crowd.
Are you telling me or asking me?
A bit of each. How do you feel about him knocking around there?
Well, sooner he was where I could keep an eye on him.
Why?
Oh, come on. We both know what he can be like, what he's done.
So you think he could drop into more trouble, is that it? Or has he already done something you don't like? I'd like to know for his sake.
He said nothing to you, then?
What about?
He drinks.
So do a lot of lads younger than Terry. How bad is it?
It frightens me. Hard stuff, on his own, not just with his mates. And that's how I started.
You had reasons. What's his problem?
He won't say. Happen we'll lose in touch.
He's drinking. Can he handle it? Or is it only now and then? Or often?
Occasional, so far, from what we've found out, but I don't know.
You've got to stay on his side, Mr. Barford.
You think I'm not trying to?
But he won't tell you why he's drinking.
No, I've let the Riot Act lay down rules, and he's sticking to them, but he won't talk.
If you can't kill...
Look, I want him here, with me and Nora, not in a home, in care.
Look, we both agree he should be here, but I'll talk to him. It may be easier me being on the outside. But from now on, we'll both keep an eye on him. Right?